Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a spectacular day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live and direct from sunny Southern California. What's the most valuable thing in your life? Right? What's the most valuable thing you have? Is it your house? Is it your car? Jewelry? What do you value the most? Well, the Green Bay Packers still have their quarterback, right? Which I guess we're supposed to sit here and go like, hey, it was close. They almost didn't have Aaron Rodgers. But the truth is that they had the paper that mattered. Aaron Rodgers was, until yesterday, under contract for 3 more years, counting this year. And today, we believe he's under contract for 2 more years, counting this year. What I did was I reached out to some of my friends, and I was like, why would they acquiesce and void that last year? And a couple buddies of mine texted me back, like, you know, he might have said he was going to retire, and they thought it was a bluff worth at least, you know, they were going to have to redo the contract or figure it out at the end of this year anyway. But this solidifies that in 9 months, they're going to have to figure out what they want to do with Aaron Rodgers. This he's going to play somewhere else. The mistake that people made for a long time is assuming, like, signing early in a scholarship. And the reason you don't do it, the reason you would do it is you lock yourself in, you know you have a scholarship, you know your school. The reason you shouldn't do it is, man, everything changes during one season. I'll never forget, you know, like when I signed to play at Notre Dame, I'd never seen them play. And I simply loved Fran McCaffrey, who was an assistant coach, recruited me. And John McLeod, I was like, well, this is a former NBA head coach. He'll get it. And I watched them play twice, Loyola Marymount and San Diego, back-to-back games right in California. And right then and there, I was like, man, this is a mistake. Just didn't fit me and how I like to play. Now, we found a way to make it work, but so much changes in sports in a year. Guys get hurt. Guys get better. Guys get worse. Coaches get fired. Coaches get hired. Things just change. And so all Green Bay did was said, like, look, we have a timeline when we want to make a decision on this. It's not now. It's next offseason. So they bought something. You know what they bought? They bought time. They bought time. They bought time for themselves to take a breath. Let's take a look. All right. Aaron Rodgers had one season in which 2 years ago they thought he was a depreciating value. Last year he exceeded anybody's reasonable expectations. What about this year? This year there'll be fans in the stands. This year they feel like they figured out their offensive line. This year they re-signed his favorite running back. They're trading for his favorite wide receiver. This should be the year. And if at the end of the year he still isn't down, well, like, we're going to trade him. But we bought ourselves 9 months to figure out. Because if we have to trade him now, we're not going to get the proper draft picks in return. The draft picks we will get would get worse for us, for the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers makes you so much better. Right? So isn't there a movie like that? I would ask Beyer, but not, you know, he's not. Isn't there a movie called something about time? You ever seen that, Ramos?
Somewhere in Time?
Is it Somewhere in Time?
With Christopher Reeve.
What's that one about?
He goes back in time to like the 1800s or something like that, or 1700s. Was that not it? Was that correlation to? Oh, Dan's checking in. What do you got, Dan?
Was filmed on Mackinac Island. I believe. Yeah.
Somewhere in time?
Yes, I believe that's what it was.
Is that the one where a guy has like 24 hours and. Tell me what Somewhere in Time is about.
I just knew that it was filmed on Mackinac Island because I visited there.
Okay, Somewhere in Time is, let's see here.
Wikipedia says, or something says, in 1972, a playwright becomes fascinated by a photo of Elise McKenna, Jane Seymour plays her, a turn-of-the-century stage actress while staying at the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island, Michigan. And then he learns from a friend that time travel may actually be possible through hypnosis. And then he travels in time, and the two appear destined to be together. I don't want to ruin the ending, but...
Time travel did it for me.
Apparently, Elise's jealous manager attempts to keep them apart.
There's In Time, which is a 2011 movie. Justin Timberlake was in it. Instead of using, this is the one I think, instead of using banknotes, the new economic system uses as currency, each person has a clock on their arm that counts down how long they have to live.
Hmm.
In Time.
In Time. In Time. Okay. Not Somewhere in Time, but just...
Well, I'm watching Somewhere in Time tonight.
21,
sure.
In the year 2169, people are genetically engineered to stop aging on their 25th birthday. When the one-year countdown on their forearm begins, when it reaches zero, a person times out and dies instantly. Right? Time has thus become the universal currency. Transferred directly between people and stored in time capsules. Several major areas called time zones. Dayton is the worst time zone, by the way. I can attest to that, Midwest. Just kidding. Anyway, In Time. Like that's basically what it is. We all have a certain finite amount of time. Teams have it. And you don't want to be rushed. The Green Bay Packers said, hey, let's just take a breath and next year we can figure out what's what. I guess the question becomes, this is not happening in a bubble, right? Other teams had a more traditional offseason, whereas the Packers did not. And there is a certain, like, idea it could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know? A self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have a disappointing year when you weren't with the team the entire offseason. So I think that's going to be fascinating to watch. If you're just joining us, the story of the day appears to be this Simone Biles thing. Okay. So Simone Biles is a great gymnast. She's called the GOAT, the greatest of all time. On her leotard, she has an outline picture of a goat. Okay. So here's the question. And what we'll do is, I think I might take a couple calls. I may live to regret it, but may take a couple calls. Simone Biles is a superstar athlete. She pulled out of the team competition last night because she wasn't feeling it. It's described as a mental health episode. She's obviously been through a lot if you know anything about U.S. gymnastics. My point is, why are women gymnasts the only ones we treat this way? With the kid gloves of, oh, you're not feeling it? Don't worry about it. Take the night off. Can you imagine if Tom Brady was down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons? He's like, yeah, guys, I just don't have it tonight. Just not feeling it. My mental health isn't right. And please don't say I'm not sympathetic towards people's mental health. I am. If Simone Biles was having a, had a long-term mental health crisis, which required immediate attention and was anywhere in the realm of maybe she could be suicidal. This is very serious stuff. She wouldn't be talking about competing later on this week. I have no doubt that she has demons and she has things that she works through. That's sports. That's what makes the best is that they can have all these things go on in their life and still find a way somehow. How did he do that? How did she do that? How did they overcome all this thing? How did Kerry Strug land on one leg? I'm sure we'll get the you're unfail male chauvinist pig thing. I'm actually the opposite of that. That's the truth to it, right? If I say we should treat Simone Biles just like we should treat LeBron James, just like we should treat Tom Brady. If I said these things, that's the opposite of being a male chauvinist pig. That's actually being equal and fair and righteous. Why do we do the opposite? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're good. Bordering on great. New Olympic sport. Saw somebody tweet this out last night. Finding the Olympic sports that you expect to find on TV is an Olympic sport in and of itself. I honestly, let me give credit to the folks at Turner who I've done some work for. I think they came up with them and CBS with the, you know, when you watch the NCAA tournament, like it has the score and then the channel little icon that you should go to. Why do the Olympics have that? I'm completely confused. Like, I just flip around, and the first one I see, I'm like, oh, okay, I might watch this. I might not watch this. The big story of the day is Simone Biles in the team competition last night. The great Olympic gymnast, she had a bad vault and apparently was in a bad mental health space and said she didn't know whether it was the no crowd or a long prep or the weird Olympics or whatever, but she just didn't have it, wasn't feeling it. She pulled herself out of the competition. And, you know, everyone else is citing, well, mental health because there's no physical injury. And there is a mental health aspect. There's no question. And a crisis in confidence, I mean, that's, Carson Wentz has had this. Were we nice about Carson Wentz having a crisis in confidence? Granted, he does not have 24 gold medals to his name. LeBron James, by most people's estimation, is a top five all-time player. Some people believe he's the greatest player of all time. But when you look back to the Dallas Mavericks series in the NBA Finals, all anybody wants to say is LeBron choked. He was under an exceptional amount of stress and pressure, and the matchups favored Dallas, and they lost. I don't know whether we're unfair to the male athlete or overly fair to the female athlete, but it is really interesting that here, someone who calls herself the greatest of all time, has 24 gold medals, the juxtaposition of just wasn't feeling it with Kobe Bryant's, like, dude, Kobe Bryant's, those times when you stay up late and work hard, the times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway, that's the actual dream. That's Kobe Bryant. So it's a really weird place we're in. And the logic behind my thinking is really simple. Is I understand that for years women have felt like they've been treated like second-class citizens in sports. Okay. If you want to be treated like a first-class citizen, when LeBron James doesn't perform well in a championship setting, he gets criticized for it. Biles hasn't gotten criticized for anything. Even my critique, not really a criticism, right? It's more pointing out the obvious double standard, which clearly exists. Let's welcome in Rich Hornberger, who, of course, was an offensive lineman in the NFL. You hear him on weekends on Fox Sports Radio. Rich, I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. He's back with the Packers. Was it a worthwhile endeavor, everything that he went through this offseason, in order to get that 1 year voided and get Randall Cobb back in the fold?
I think so, for his sake, right? If he feels that's the way he's going to best produce, if he feels, or maybe it's not, but maybe a negotiation behind the scenes was taking place, unbeknownst to all of us, and this is as close as he could get to having it his way. But I think it's valid. I think it's important that Green Bay have their starting quarterback feel as though he's surrounded with as much talent as he possibly can be to be as successful as he can be. And, you know, if I were represented by, I don't know, the top lawyer in a firm, and all of a sudden it became public that that lawyer felt like he needed more resources around him at his firm, and they were pushing back on those requests, I think I would feel like, well, geez, that firm should probably give him what he needs because he's representing me and this trial is important to my life. If there's a scientist who feels like, you know, the lab setting is completely unacceptable and he's on the verge of a breakthrough, that could be a huge national health success story where maybe a disease could be eradicated, I'm pretty sure most people would be on the side of the scientist. It's amazing the propaganda that these teams are able to force down our necks and just allow us to accept. Because without Aaron Rodgers, there is no NFC Championship last year. Without Aaron Rodgers, there isn't, you know, a continuation of success from the Favre years into the modern day era of the quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay Packers. And when Favre was there, he was the Green Bay Packers. And who knows, maybe one day Jordan Love will be the Green Bay Packers. But for right now, it's Rodgers' job to lose. And he's one of the best doing it in the game. So I'm glad to see that the Packers bent to his will a little bit here because that is the smartest move they could have made.
What is it about Randall Cobb that he's that of the guys that you want to lay down on train tracks for? Right, why Randall Cobb?
I just think that when it comes to specific players, you know, and don't ask me how or why it happens, but certain players just lend a level of security, especially to players like quarterbacks. You know what's actually often understated is the backup quarterback and his role. You know, you would say, well, what's the difference? You just need a backup, just some guy who's capable of filling in if the wheels completely fall off. But it's more than that. You know, quarterback group is a small room, man. You know, they're not hanging with, you know, the rest of the team all that often. And there's about three guys on average in that room together. And so that environment, you know, that group, that tight-knit group has to be a wolf pack. And I've seen starting quarterbacks get paired up with backups they didn't like or who were too needy or didn't understand the flow of things. And, boy, they got gone in a hurry because you need to surround yourself with, you know, individuals who lend security. Maybe Randall Cobb's one of those guys.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's go around the league. They lose their running back, but they found their quarterback. Does the experiment with upgrading a quarterback change the Rams for the better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially the type of quarterback they got in Matthew Stafford. I mean, look, he didn't do a ton of winning in Detroit, but that's a competitor, you know, first and foremost, and second, but a close second. He also can make all the throws on a football field, and he's a smart dude, and he's been doing this for a decade, you know, or longer, actually. You know, this is a talent at a position as opposed to a position in need of talent now. There are no more excuses for Sean McVay, though. Let's keep in mind, you know, he has done a lot with this offense. The offense has had very good skill position players. It was missing a quarterback who was capable of closing the deal for Sean McVay, especially in that Super Bowl. But if you bring in Matthew Stafford, or, you know, think of some other guys who are of similar talent, you know, maybe a Kirk Cousins, maybe an Alex Smith when he was still playing and healthy, you know, you're running out of excuses there. You gotta find a way to seal the deal now. And so I think they took a huge step up moving on from Goff and bringing in Stafford.
Okay. That division is fascinating to me because you have the Rams. They have Aaron Donald now. They got Stafford. It's a team with some huge, and with Jalen Ramsey, they got some huge big name stars, but it may be the other guys that help them. You have Arizona, which they look good and fun, but haven't won anything left. You got Seattle. They had their own dysfunction with Russell Wilson. Have they improved themselves enough in the offseason?
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks are going to be an interesting case, right? You know, because Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback. He's a playmaker on his own merit, but also he has become a quarterback who can really successfully run a system, which you absolutely need to be able to do to win Super Bowls. You can't do it all on your own. I mean, you know, there's even Patrick Mahomes, as much credit as we give him, he needs Andy Reid. You know, there's no question in my mind that part of the reason why he's had so much immediate success is because the game plans and the creative offensive play calling that takes place, it really accentuates his abilities and it's catered to his abilities. You know, so as far as the Seahawks go, you know, they really do need to, again, this is very similar to what I was saying about Aaron Rodgers, listen to their player. Find the things he's comfortable, the most comfortable doing. Accentuate his strengths, hide his weaknesses, and this offense could become one of the best in the NFL, if not the best in the NFL. Again, that's all predicated around health, as it is every year with every team. And you know, just to speak briefly on the rest of that division, that has been a problem for the San Francisco 49ers going on 2 years now, and the Arizona Cardinals as well. We'll see what this division looks like, but assuming health, I think it's going to be one of the most competitive in the entire league.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And then you have, it does kind of feel like nobody's talking about Kansas City. And maybe that's because we're national and Aaron Rodgers was the sizzle and Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. But, you know, the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl last year. They won the Super Bowl the previous year. And they were in the AFC Championship game the year before that. I mean, that is as the makings of a dynasty. But look, the challenges are you have your quarterback under contract, continue to find the right pieces around. They remade their offensive line, and obviously offensive line was a big reason that he was under such duress in the postseason in the Super Bowl. Did they remake it the right way?
I think they did. I think they added enough to that offensive line to be capable of protecting Patrick Mahomes. But you know what? Waiting in the wings for the Chiefs, are a team like the Chargers, and that's a team in the same conference and the same division, for crying out loud, that all of a sudden has a quarterback, a franchise quarterback at very least, and maybe something more special than that. You know, these other teams are going to start catching up. You know, that is the goal, right? You don't want to just let Mahomes and the Chiefs run the table every year and be the assumed a representative of your conference in the Super Bowl. The whole goal is to get better every year, and dynasties are difficult, like we all know, to keep in balance. And so I look at more, not necessarily at the Chiefs, but more at the competition starting to brew around the AFC. I mean, look, the Patriots coming off a down year with a lot of injuries on their offensive line. Their starting quarterback in Cam Newton was out for a stretch of time. They're grooming the next Tom Brady, they hope. They took Mac Jones 15th overall in the draft. I mean, you can't count out Belichick and the Patriots. It's going to be an interesting year. I'm not saying the Chiefs won't end up being the AFC champs, and if you ask me today, I think they will be. But they're going to have competition, and that's what I have my eye on.
You mentioned the Patriots. Cam Newton's the starting quarterback for how long there?
It's going to be as long as he can stay healthy or as long as he's the best to man that position. It's a true meritocracy in New England. Bill Belichick has earned that. So if he makes a mistake on a player, if he brings in a free agent who's not panning out, he doesn't have to play that guy because he's getting pressured from up above as far as how much money that guy's getting paid. That guy's going to ride the bench and he's going to play the best player. And so same goes with Cam Newton. That's actually an easier proposition because he's still a low-salary guy. And his job is two-part. His job is obviously to win the job and to be the best quarterback on the roster, but it's also to groom his successor because everybody knows Cam's got way more yesterdays than tomorrows in this league, and he's not the long-term answer for the New England Patriots.
Rich Hornberger. Rich, awesome job, dude. Can't wait to hear you on weekends. We're getting ready for football season right in your wheelhouse. Appreciate you being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
You got it, Doug. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Oh, you're the best. I mean, he's so good at what he does and makes it so When we talked about little baby bites, it's so easy to consume and understand his belief and thoughts on the on these teams. All right, coming up next, John Hollinger is going to join us. We'll ask him. There's continued rumors about movement with superstars in the NBA. Does he see Damian Lillard moving? If so, to the East, who's added to the Lakers? And can Team USA turn around in time? Find out next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's welcome in John Hollinger, who joins us from The Athletic, used to help run the Memphis Grizzlies as well. John, let's start with Team USA. It is interesting that one of the reasons the Utah Jazz went home early was they couldn't find anywhere for Rudy Gobert to play on defense. And yet here with international rules, he's an incredible weapon for the French team. Why do you think it's so different for USA basketball?
Well, first, I mean, I think the thing that really happened with Gobert is that they couldn't put him close enough to the hoop to make up for the other deficiencies of the other Utah players on defense. And so that was the thing that really hurt them there. In the international rules, you can just keep him in the lane the whole game. And so he could be much more of a factor because of that. And the U.S. also isn't necessarily set up to stretch him out and pull him away from the hoop. Yeah. Because the two main centers are Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo, who are non-shooters.
Which was why they originally included Kevin Love. Was there? Why do you think there's the paucity of American bigs?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things they really run into in these international games, because the value of size and just, like, big, ugly, slow centers are, like, way more valuable in the international game. And you can see we don't have guys who are 7'7", like these big hulking guys that virtually all these teams we face have. Honestly, I mean, even Iran tonight has Hamed Haddadi, who we had in Memphis, who is 7'3". Like, he's going to be a force in the middle. I don't know what else he's going to do out there, but in the painted area, he's going to be a factor. And so we haven't really had bigs like that on our U.S. teams in a while. I mean, Anthony Davis is probably the closest thing. And, you know, that's why they ended up with JaVale McGee on this team. I mean, because that was kind of the closest thing they had that was available. That's why they've had Plumlee in the past, Brook Lopez. But we've struggled to come up with the right big to play in the international system. And I think people focus on the guards. Durant has shot well, and Lillard and whatnot, and that's all true. But the front court situation, I think, is like the enduring weakness for the U.S. international play.
All right, we're going to let you get to a little bit better sell spot if you can, because we're getting there's a little bit of the drive-through thing, right? We're getting the drive-through where I know you want fries and a Coke. I just don't know what you want exactly on your burger. John Hollinger joining us. All right, let's get to usually this time of year, we got Summer League. We got all the juicy rumors. Instead, we got the Olympics and Summer League's pushed back. It's a really weird timing wise. Ben Simmons, they have to move him, right?
Have to. Yeah. That was my reaction from the moment he made that pass in the Atlanta game.
You know, it's interesting. I brought this up earlier, and I don't know your feelings on the Simone Biles thing. My point is, like, can you imagine if Ben Simmons came out after the game, like, oh, look, I just meant my mental health wasn't good. I just wasn't feeling it. How we handle NBA players. I mean, Paul George, when he was in the bubble, when he said he just wasn't in the right place mentally, how we handle NBA players and how we handle gymnasts and Olympic athletes, completely different.
yeah, I mean, I don't feel informed enough to comment on whatever happened with Simone Biles this morning, but, you know, it is interesting. I mean, we've had NBA players come out and discuss this, you know, Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, obviously Paul George, as you mentioned, but I think there's still the expectation that, like, when the lights come on, that's go time, and that's when you need to be at your best. And hopefully you will have dealt with those things in all the time leading up to those moments.
It's a very fair point. All right, so when you saw him turn down the layup in the playoffs, you're like, they got to move him. First, what's his value in the league? You ran the Memphis Grizzlies. So somebody calls you and says, like, hey, Ben Simmons, what do you think? I mean, look, I know he can't shoot and he doesn't shoot, but he's still young. There's a ton of value there. He can play. How do you evaluate his value?
Yeah, I helped other people run the Memphis Grizzlies, but yes. In terms of Ben Simmons, there's definite value for him around the league. Absolutely. There are still teams that believe in him, that are lured by his talent, that like the idea of getting a young all-star who signs for the next several years. They'll be able to get something for him. I think the thing is, they're big game hunting right now. They're trying to see if they can convert him into Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal or one of these other guys that might come available maybe later this summer. So I don't think it's something they're going to rush into. I don't know that anything happens on draft night.
What's the best fit?
I wonder about Toronto with him. I think that would be really interesting just because that team is so fast end-to-end already. What he could add to that. I wonder a little about if, like, a deal for Simmons' deal would be something that could help Washington reset without kind of taking a giant step backwards and going all the way back to rock bottom. So I do wonder about that. As far as, like, the top-level contending teams, I'm not sure I see the right fit for him right now.
You mentioned Damian Lillard. How does that work itself out?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? It feels like he knows he needs to push his way out of there, but he can't quite bring himself to do it yet.
Yeah.
Just because he has a lot of loyalty to the city, and he also doesn't want to be seen as that guy. And his leverage is interesting because he still has 3 years left on his deal, too. So it's a hard time to say, like, get me out of here when you just signed a supermax. So between all that, I wonder if this doesn't really come to a head until midseason.
But don't they have to add somebody in this offseason in order to validate him not forcing his way out?
Yeah, that's the really tricky part when you're a team in this situation, right? It's what New Orleans dealt with Anthony Davis. It's what we've seen other teams deal with as well, sometimes more successfully than others. And if you're Portland, yeah, you're probably trying to push some more chips in and get enough players around so that Lillard says, okay, you know what, this works, I'll stay another half decade. But it's a really risky thing to do when you're talking about trading future first-round picks, especially that could end up being really valuable if you have to reset. So I do not envy their challenge. Let me put it that way.
John Hollinger from The Athletic joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Fix the Lakers. Go.
They are facing a challenging offseason because they have this mentality that they're going to push their chips in and get all these, you know, or go after these star players. They don't really have chips is the problem. They used them on the Anthony Davis deal. And their hands are tied by the luxury tax apron for any sign-and-trade deal with any free agent, like Kyle Lowry, for instance. So they're in a really tough spot for improving the team. I do think the 22nd pick that they have will be in play. They'll try to do something with, like, that and Kyle Kuzma. If Montrezl Harrell opts into his deal, they could use his contract in the deal maybe. But they're going to have to get really creative. This isn't like LeBron James and Anthony Davis just show up at your doorstep. Like, they got to do some stuff now, and it's going to be a real challenge.
Yeah. What do you do if you're the Clippers, knowing you're, I mean, first you got to, I guess, recruit Kawhi back. He's coming off of surgery to repair a partially torn ACL. They felt like they were close, but now all of a sudden you kind of got to re-envision yourself. What do you do?
I think you have to come in with the idea that hopefully Kawhi will be ready by the playoffs. And if you have a team that's good enough to get to the playoffs, then you have a fighting chance once you get there. The challenge for them, though, it goes much further than re-signing Kawhi, because they have Nick Batum and Reggie Jackson as free agents, and they have no bird rights on Batum. They have limited bird rights on Reggie Jackson. Like, bringing those guys back is going to be a challenge. And then, because of their situation with the tax, replacing them if they go is going to be a challenge too. So they're in a really difficult situation too. Now, they've historically shown more ability to be creative at the margins with stuff like this than the Lakers have. And so you wonder, can, you know, maybe the front office can pull a rabbit out of the hat again. Maybe Terrence Mann can step up and do more next year. They definitely have more options than the Lakers do, but obviously going through a regular season without Kawhi for most or all of it is going to impact their playoff seeding at the very least.
Golden State, okay, they have two picks. They get Klay back, although no one knows what he'll be like. And you would think that Wiseman would be better because, look, he only played three college games and there was no real training camp there. On the other hand, you know, there were some limitations with Wiseman there. What do you do? What do you think Golden State does?
I think Golden State is kind of all in on this next year or two, getting everything they can out of the Splash Brothers era with Curry, Thompson, Draymond. And if that means they have to trade Wiseman at the 7th pick and the 14th pick to get another high-level guy around them, yeah, they're not going to flinch at doing that. I think the 7th and 14th picks will definitely be in play. I think even after they pick those guys, you could see them move later in the summer if the right guy becomes available.
Who is the right guy? That's my question for them. Who's the right guy that they're missing?
I think Beal would certainly be a target for them. I think an interesting guy to watch would be Pascal Siakam in Toronto. I actually wrote about this a few weeks ago in The Athletic, just like his positional fit on that team and the way they like to play, I think would be really interesting. And Toronto's kind of half resetting in the probably post Kyle Lowry era. So they might be amenable to something like that. So I think that's one to watch.
Awesome stuff. John, we really appreciate you joining us. You're obviously a wealth of knowledge. We're getting ready for the NBA draft. Anything that would lead you to not take Cade Cunningham if you're the Detroit Pistons?
A knock-me-over offer from Oklahoma City, potentially. I mean, that would be the one thing. Oklahoma City has so many future picks, and they have the 6th pick in this draft. And if they throw some combination of that along with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you at least have to have a meeting about it. So I think that's the one thing that could really push them to not select Cade at 1. I think otherwise he's still probably going to be the guy. I know they like Jalen Green too, but I still think ultimately it's going to be Cade.
Do you think there's a drop-off after 3 or drop-off after 5?
For me, it's probably more after 5. I think the top 5 guys are probably pretty similar in value. So, like, I don't think it's Cade by, like, miles and miles over these other guys. I like Evan Mobley a lot, too. I think Jalen Suggs is going to be good. Jalen Green has the potential to be a really good scorer in the league. And then I really like Scotty Barnes from Florida State, too. Yeah. He has to improve his shot, but, like, defensively, handling the ball, he can do a lot of things.
No, it definitely looks like a modern day basketball player in terms of all of his versatility and all the things he does. He does have to shoot a lot better. John, look forward to reading your stuff this week and out of the NBA draft and see what happens. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and apologies if the hailstorm here affected my reception, son.
No problem. I mean, like, look, hailstorm is a reasonable excuse. Fire, you ever had those like golf ball size hail? Like those things are unbelievable.
No fun. Yeah.
No. Meteors from the sky is what it feels like. Okay, so how does hail comes down as rain but then freezes midair? Is that right? It's like freezing rain but only in the summer?
That sounds good to me. Yeah, I mean, that would, I guess. But I don't know how it would. Yeah, I suppose that's the case.
No, you can go ahead and tell me. Like,
no, I don't. Know. That's, I don't know. I was just trying to go through the process. I'm like, does it, you know, as you said, does it start out in liquid form and then turn into the solid form? I do not necessarily know that to be the case. But I mean, it doesn't rain ice in the summer or the winter. So, you know, that seems to be a good.
It does not rain ice.
I mean, these icicles are coming down. Doesn't do that in the winter. So. I don't know the phenomenon behind it.
I don't either. Hail is a fascinating deal.
Oh, it's, right? Man. Yeah. We've gotten them out here randomly, and when it looks like it's snow covered, it's cool. But when you say golf ball or, you know, baseball size, like that stuff is, there's nothing you can do at all. Like if your car is outside, you are done.
You are absolutely done. Absolutely, absolutely done. All right, coming up next, we'll get to Dan has the press, including will Simone Biles compete this week? Find out next.